from the message. Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount, which he started last week in the Beatitudes, in the Blessed Are. And so he's picking up from there. He's speaking to his most ardent followers, his closest disciples, who have traveled up the hillside, up the mountain with him, and now sit to rest, and Jesus teaches. He says, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage if you lose your saltiness." Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you on a hilltop and on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father that we have in heaven. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish. I'm here to complete. I am going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and the earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom of God. Jesus is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was talking at 9 o'clock with all the scouts present about one of the experiences I had during my time as a scout, which was 99% wonderful. And then there was this 1%. As I was working on the cooking merit badge, one of the rules that scouts have is that you have to eat your own cooking. And one of the requirements that we had in the troop I was in was that you had to take a 2-day hike and you had to forage and eat along the way, cooking what you found, and that was what you subsisted on. I found dandelions. And somebody told me that dandelion leaves are edible. And so I boiled them. And I mean, I had a pot full of these rascals. And those who know me well know that I absolutely love kale. Not. Well, these dandelion leaves tasted to me like really bitter kale. And then my scoutmaster looked at me and said, "Put some salt on it. Just put some salt on it. You put salt on anything, it tastes better." And so I did. I mean, I turned those green leaves white with this stuff. And I was able to get it down. I really was. I was able to eat my own cooking. It was amazing. But I did find out that the scoutmaster's advice wasn't good when I tried to make a peach cobbler in a Dutch oven. Even salt couldn't have saved that. It just wasn't going to work. But salt is something which brings out hidden flavor. It really does. I like salt. I watch salt, but I like salt because it brings out flavors that I don't taste otherwise. Anybody else like that? Where it kind of just brings out flavors that are hidden. This was known millennia ago, when in Leviticus, the second chapter, the 13th verse, we learn that salt was to be part of a grain offering that people brought to God. Why? Because it brought out the essence of the grain. It wasn't about the longevity of the grain or working on other things. It was to say, this grain by itself is really bland. But with salt, it has flavor. Salt is not an element that is to be used by itself. You don't put salt on salt. Well, maybe some do, but I'm sure their doctors are talking to them about that. Salt's value comes in its application on other things. That's where its value is. So likewise, followers of Jesus are called to exist, to bring out the spiritual flavor in others. That's what it means when we say be salt, to help other flavors take their fullness. Jesus tells his followers that they are salt and light now. Not in some far distant future, not in some other world, but now. Jesus' teaching is not only about what the kingdom of God can be, but about what the kingdom of God already is. In its essence, at its center, Jesus' teaching is about who we are. What our lives in this new realm look like. And what he is saying today to those closest followers of him is, be tasty and lit up. We are the tastiness that adds salt and flavor to the lives around us. We're the light also that makes plain the way of God's kingdom in the path of justice. Jesus says that we must be tasty and lit up to make a difference for God in the world. Neither salt nor light exist for themselves. They only fulfill a purpose when used, when poured out, when they shine on or make others more flavorful. Those who follow Jesus don't merely sit back and receive abundant life passively, or simply tell others about what a great, abundant life they have in Jesus. Jesus is taking those closest to him and saying, what I'm talking about here, said Jesus, is about living a life that makes a difference for others in the world. He goes on to talk about being a light, a beacon on a hill. And he's saying, don't let a basket, don't let a bushel block that light. Well, think about that a minute. How's that going to happen? It's only going to happen The light is going to be blocked only if we put the barriers there. Only if we are the ones that put the basket over our light. Only if we try to shut out the light of others. That is what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. Let your light shine. Oh, but that's risky. Someone else is going to know that's your light. Someone's going to see you in a different way. They're going to be attracted to the light that is coming from you. What bushels cover your light? What are they? Really think about that a minute. You, as a child of God, have been given a spiritual light to shine forth from you. What are you doing to block it? What perhaps are others doing to block it? Maybe the bushel is an inferiority complex. By that I mean a lack of confidence that chronically comes from us comparing ourselves to others or to the good old days when the pews were full and all our friends were here. People you know who looked like us, dressed like us, talked like us. This inferiority bushel, it blocks out the light of God in our midst today. It keeps us from shining and celebrating the light that is here now, not in days past and not in the future, right here, right now. Or perhaps that bushel is hiding your light. A light that is being blocked by internal conflicts or self-absorption. When conflict is an expected part of any human endeavor or organization, we know that our humanness is at play. But when our conflict becomes an excuse for unproductive results, then it's a bushel. It's covering our ability to shine. Internal conflict, self, being self-absorbed, not focusing on the mission that Jesus gives to the church, these things breed darkness. And they shut out the light of Christ. When it was nightfall in the ancient world, it was dark, and I mean it was really dark. Isaiah 59 says, "In darkness we grope like the blind along a wall, groping like those who have no eyes." I've known this darkness. When I was an early teenager, as a scout, I was tapped out to be a member of the Order of the Arrow, which is an honorary society in scouting. And as part of this, you have to go through what is termed an ordeal. And this began for me in being ushered silently into a very large deer field and told to lay down and they'd be back for us in the morning. And we were alone. I mean, we were spread out all over this acre. Okay? And at first, when they walked away, I was listening to the sounds, the rustling, as the footsteps moved away, and then I realized there was nothing. And so I lay down on my back and I looked up, and for the first time in my life, I saw the Milky Way. I'd never seen it. I had never experienced it before. I had seen stars, but even back in the 60s, there was light pollution. And living in the suburbs, I was bathed in light pollution. But it kept me from seeing things. It kept me from seeing God. And then as I was falling asleep, I remember seeing a pinpoint of light across the field from where I was, and it was flashing on and off. And I realized, that's Morse code. And so I pulled out my flashlight, and I don't know if you remember this, but they were L-shaped, and they were made of metal, and they had an on and off slide, but there was also a button above it. And the purpose of that button was to be able to send signals. And so I had learned Morse code, and I was able to respond to the light that was so far away from me. Light speaks to light. Right? Think about that in your own life. Light speaks to light. And the other thing I remembered from that night was how far a small little beam of light can travel. Because we were way, way apart from each other. And yet we were able to communicate through the darkness because we shared the message of the light. In Jesus' usage of light in the sermon today, it's not simply to allow others to see whatever they wish, but it's for others to see that there is light in the world in other places. To be able to say, darkness will not prevail. We may be in dark, but we are not slaves to the darkness. We have the ability to shine into that darkness. It allows those who are observing light to recognize the cause of it, where it is coming from. And in Jesus' instruction to his followers today, he's saying that light that you are to be is the inbreaking of God's love in the world. Love shines brightly. And I think in a few days we're going to be celebrating that on Valentine's Day, right? Love shines brightly. And all manner of darkness is cast out by it. So today, remembering that Jesus had been talking on the heels of the blessed are, it's okay for us to ask, what are the examples of salt to the earth that Jesus was really talking about? Jesus taught that his followers are to be humble, to mourn genuinely, to be meek, and to thirst after doing what is right in the world. Doing what is right in the world. That's what it means to be salt. And I want to talk for just a minute about, in scouting, there is an effort to try to develop leaders, to take young people, both boys and girls, and develop in them a character that is solid for leadership. And we need to understand what that means, because we get confused. To be really honest, we get confused. Managers that we really need. Managers do things right. Think about that a minute. If you're a manager, you really are responsible to do things right. To make sure everything is in order, all the piece parts are there, that everything is tracking, right? You do things right. Leaders do the right things. Please hear the difference. Leaders do the right things. They take the time to pray and reflect and understand what it really means to do the right thing and avoid the wrong thing. It's not just about doing things right. It's choosing which right things we do. That's the training that Jesus was trying to give to his disciples and that scouts tried to give to their scouts through all that they do as well. So you might ask, using the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, who are light to the darkness in the world? They are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who receive abuse for standing up for what is right. Please hear that. Those are those who bring the light into the world. Bringing the good news of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven isn't just reading, it's being. It's developing a way of life. It's choosing to do those things each and every day. And like Jesus, we are to bring the good news of God's kingdom on earth, as we just prayed earlier, as it is in heaven. And that should be for us our way of life. We're to be tasty and lit up for a world that stumbles around in darkness. You know, if we're really truthful, there are too many Christians who are captive to the lie that they are not faithful enough or sober enough or church-going enough or know the Bible well enough to be loved by God. I need to tell you, that's bunk. Because as you are here today, as you struggle through the stuff of your life, as you present yourself before God as an imperfect offering, asking for God to make it worthy, you are loved. Please hear that. You are loved. And that love is not a human love that is capricious. It's not depending upon a dozen red roses on February 14th. It's a love that endures. It's a love that abides with you. And that love of God is the salt that gives you flavor. So be bushel free. Let your life shine. Let it proclaim the good news from Jesus, that humanity is being welcomed from being lost and dead back to life. Being welcomed from shame back into forgiveness. From wandering in an alien land to coming home. To understand and thrive in God's light and kingdom. Here and now, and forever. And remember this from our scripture reading this morning. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Open up to others. And in doing so, you'll prompt people to open up with God. God, our all-loving and generous Father. So, brothers and sisters, live a tasty and lit-up life. And maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to learn Morse code either. Amen. Amen. As we come to this part of our service where we respond to the God who loves us so completely and forever, I would just say, how will you shine your light for others today? How will you let yourself be salt that adds flavor to someone else's life? Amen.